He watches your fantasy games for you. He's here to help you crush your leagues, baby. Finally, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on this podcast. Oh, yeah. When you want straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Muka Maka 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 Maka
Pickle, Pickle, Pickle.
Welcome back to the real world. No more vacation. It is Monday, and what is it? Week 15?
Week 15,
week
Adam.
Week 15! Welcome to the show. Fantasy Baseball Today. Adam Azer, Michael Hurkum, Scott White. Trades. Trades are going down right now. All-stars.
Today we have an all-star cast. The only snub is Al Melchior.
Yeah, I got snubbed today. Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put baseball podcast in the subject line. We'll talk about the most added and most dropped players. Recap everything important that went down over the weekend. Tim Lincecum is on a nice little roll here. A lot of injuries. Edwin Encarnacion out 2 to 4 weeks. Everybody have a good weekend?
Yes.
Of course.
How you feeling?
Of course. I'm feeling better. I probably sound better than when you last heard me.
You do. You do. I'm glad you got some rest. I'm glad you're back. Scott, I had a big weekend myself, actually. I met someone. Beautiful, funny, smart.
Uh-huh.
Operating system. Scott saw the movie Her and did not like it.
No, I don't understand what people see in it, to be perfect. Like, it seemed like it was trying to make some kind of deep statement on relationships, but I feel like other movies have made it better, and I'm not even sure what it was exactly. Like, it was a little too vague, and I'm not really sure why she had to be an operating system in the first place. Like, it just, like,
it didn't.
What podcast am I on? Is this like a movie review or
okay?
A
you're right. I just felt vindicated because Scott agreed with me, and I trust his movie judgment, whereas Herc's I don't trust at all. All right, let's get to the big news here. The Cubs traded Jeff Samardzija and Jason Hamill to Oakland for shortstop prospect Addison Russell, outfield prospect Billy McKinney, starting pitcher Dan Straley, and a player to be named later. Tommy Malone was surprisingly sent to AAA. So winners and losers in this trade. Your thoughts is Samardzija. Hey, Samardzija got a win yesterday. 7 innings, 1 run on 4 hits, 5 Ks against Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously the biggest winner because he couldn't win with the Cubs.
Yes.
He had 2 wins before this trade.
Yes,
and
he did.
He's been pitching at an all-star level. He actually, even with those few wins, he had made the all-star team for the NL. But then this trade happened, so he can't pitch for the NL anymore. But I had him in the top 30 of my starting pitchers, and he's... So I don't feel like I have to move him up because I kind of had him ranked anticipating a trade at some point. But he is the biggest winner. Other winners include Dan Straley, who we'll probably see at the back in the big leagues here at some point, though not right away. I'm kind of split on Jason Hamill because I feel like he's been so bad at times in his career that going back to the AL in a division where 3 teams could potentially make the playoffs, it seems like it could throw off the delicate equilibrium he's established here.
And I don't know if you realize 16 of his 17 starts were caught by veteran catcher John Baker, so you wonder how much that chemistry had to do with his success as well.
Okay. We'll wait and see on that. At least not going to a bad ballpark.
The one thing I just want to say about this trade is I find it very interesting is now the Cubs are really solid up the middle long-term with Russell, Castro, and Javier Baez. Are they going to trade one of those? Are they going to make one a third baseman and then maybe move Chris Bryant to left field like the Brewers did with Ryan Braun? I mean, the Cubs have set themselves up nicely for the future, whether they make a trade or they figure out how to get all these promising bats in their lineup.
I feel like they're going to have to trade Castro.
I saw one trade which was interesting. Like, the New York Daily News suggested the Mets should trade Zach Wheeler and Jake DeGrom for Starlin Castro.
Would you do that? Would you like that as a Mets fan?
You know what? The thing is, though, we need a strong defender at shortstop as well as a guy who can hit.
Yeah.
And Castro's really the bat and not the strong defender. I still believe in Zach Wheeler, even though he's got a high walk rate. I still think he can be an ace kind of pitcher. So I'm on the fence on that one. I wouldn't hate it if they did it. but I don't think I would, you know, go out there and make that trade either.
Who else is going to be in the Cubs rotation?
Oh, they haven't decided yet. Right now it's three men. It's Edwin Jackson, Travis Wood, and Teoshi Iwata. Right now they're deciding. Dallas Buehler could rejoin the rotation. He did pretty well in his one spot start against the Nationals earlier this season. Straley.
Right.
Obviously could.
Along with Arrieta, obviously.
Arrieta, excuse me, yes. So
right.
I was thinking about early in the week here.
So the Yankees traded Vidal Nuno to the Diamondbacks for Brandon McCarthy. Any thoughts on this trade? Chase Whitley going to the bullpen for now as McCarthy's set to start Wednesday. Whitley could start Thursday, though, if he isn't needed in relief. We'll talk about Shane Green in a second, who's going to start tonight for the Yankees at Cleveland. How about McCarthy or Nuno?
You know, I saw this trade, and you immediately think, oh, McCarthy's going to the Yankees. He's like Vidal Nuno, in my opinion. I mean, he gets hit hard. He doesn't walk a lot of guys, which is good. But how's he going to play in that home run park?
Well, I guess the theory on him is his last two starts have been good.
Yes.
His FIP is much better than his ERA. And he's got a ground ball pitcher, which should be good in Yankee Stadium, and his walk-to-strikeout rate is really good, so he's basically underperformed.
You're going to like this stat. I was seeing somewhere where he was like 4-1 against the Padres when he was with the Diamondbacks, and like I would have was 4-20 against everyone else or something like that. I mean,
from a fantasy from a fantasy standpoint, look, he's given up 131 hits and 109 and two-thirds. That's insane. But ground ball pitchers, I understand, could give up more hits based on flukiness.
But the thing about him, like, he is a ground ball pitcher, but he's a ground ball pitcher who, for whatever reason, gives up a lot of home runs.
And, this year, yeah.
Well, even looking at previous years, it was a below-average home run rate for pitchers in general, but for a ground ball pitcher, it was still very high.
Right.
And, yeah, I think as hard as he gets hit, just in terms of contact, if when he does give up a fly ball, it tends to travel that far.
So you're,
I don't
so
know
you're
that it's
going
to be a good thing. No, no.
Right. How about Shane Green starting tonight for the Yankees through 13 scoreless innings over his last two starts at AAA? Any interest, deep leagues, daily leagues?
Nah, not really.
Yeah. All right. And the Yankees DFA'd Alfonso Soriano. I advised a friend of mine who's in an 18-team league to pick up Soriano. $0. Because I just still feel like if he gets regular playing time somewhere, I feel like he could go on one of his tears.
Maybe this is the wake-up call he needs?
It's just a matter of playing time. I mean, you can't expect a guy who's been a regular player for basically his entire career to sit against everyone, to sit against righties and be good.
Look
he's one of the streakiest hitters in baseball to begin with.
And look what he did last season when he got traded from the NL to the AL. It's kind of like, again, a wake-up call. Just, you know, he went on a tear.
Yeah. I don't know if you have anything to add.
It'd be good if like a team like the Astros picked him up where, you know, obviously a good park for a right-handed hitter and they have nothing to lose by playing him. It's just picking him up to see if he gets hot before the trade deadline and then they can trade him off to somebody else.
It's not a bad idea. All right, Sabathia could be out for the year, perhaps his career because of his knee injury. Edwin Encarnacion is out 2 to 4 weeks with a quad strain. On Sunday, we saw Jose Bautista play first base with Rasmus, Melky, and Gillespie in the outfield, and Lind at DH. But you would imagine Bautista will soon be back in the outfield. Lind can play some first base. Anyway, is there anybody that we should pick up to replace Edwin Encarnacion that you guys can think of? Steve Pierce? I know this is not a great week for him, but...
It's not a great week for him, but I think he kind of entered J.D. Martinez territory with the week he just had. I do have him as a sit in the start sit for hitters, but, I mean, it doesn't look like the Orioles are going to move away from him anytime soon, and the hot streak has gone on long enough that, particularly with his minor league track record, there's a reason to believe this might be a legit breakout for him.
Deeper leagues, I say Logan Morrison, while he's, you know, red hot, and maybe he could last 2 to 4 weeks until... Encarnacion comes back, but if Lucas Duda is still available, I mean, please, can we just give Lucas Duda the respect he deserves for what he's done for like 5-6 weeks now?
I did see he started against a left-hander.
He hit
at least once last week.
And he went Oppo Field double yesterday, RBI double.
Off a lefty?
No, it was a righty who hit it off of, yeah. Oh. So.
Would you guys rather have CJ Cron or Lucas Duda?
Cron for me. But mostly because of the playing time issue.
I think I'd give the slight edge to Crone.
Duda or Kendrys Morales?
Duda.
I'm going to go Morales.
Duda or, well, how about, oh, let's go deeper. We got Nick Swisher, Corey Hart, Chris Carter, Logan Morrison, Justin Smoke is in the minors.
Duda.
Ike Davis is 16% owned. He's got nothing but righties this week.
I'll take Duda of that group too, but I did want to mention Corey Hart because he is back now, and kind of like Alfonso Soriano, he's a guy who he'll look like he's doing nothing and maybe he's washed up, and then he goes on this run where he hits 8 home runs in 2 weeks, and it's too late to pick him up at that point. So I would not rule him out from making an impact here in the next month.
Okay, Fox Sports reports that Detroit is interested in Joaquin Benoit. So, Joe Nathan owners, be afraid, be very afraid. Andrew Heaney was sent down to AAA, and Domingo Santana was sent down to AAA. Are either of these two stashable 12-team leagues?
Heaney, maybe. Santana, I didn't bother to pick up in the first place. I think he has plate discipline issues that made his struggles in the majors something you could anticipate. Heaney, we'd said it, up until his last start, he had been pitching well.
Right.
For the most part, it was just like one bad inning that doomed him. So maybe he puts together a couple good starts in the minors, comes back up, and is who he wanted him to be in the first place from that point forward. So not saying he's undroppable, but I know in one of my 12-team leagues where I had him, I didn't see anybody else out there that I wanted more, so I just held on to him.
Going back to the Detroit situation real quick, what about Joel Hanrahan as a name to stash away for? You know, they signed him. He's slowly working his way back. You would like to see him a little bit faster, maybe right after the All-Star break. The thing is, though, right, guy coming off Tommy John, if he comes back in August, can you really stick him in the closer's role if, you know, Joe Nathan continues to struggle?
Speaking of closers, Bruce Bochy named Santiago Casilla the Giants' closer. Got saves on Saturday and Sunday. And I have a hard time believing that Jake McGee is not going to be, if he's not already, the closer for the Rays.
One-out save last night.
We were just here last Monday, Friday. Weren't we?
But I've been saying, I'm not going back on my word or anything. I said it because McGee, like, it looked like he was the closer, and then he pitched the eighth, and somebody else pitched the ninth.
Grant
and gave
Balfour
up the,
got a save. Brad Boxberger got a save.
But first it was Peralta blew the save
against
the Yankees. And it was like, even though these other guys are getting saves, McGee has done nothing to lose the job. He's clearly the best one there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we were saying this again last week, and three other guys got save opportunities before McGee got his next one.
But he got
the last two, yeah, but he had gotten the last two at this time last week, too.
And I'll add, too,
that these last two for McGee, these most recent two, last night's or yesterday's was a one-out save against a right-handed batter, and the other one, I think he faced two right-handed batters in the ninth inning. So it's not like they're using him like a situational lefty, but I do think there's a strong desire not to confine him to the ninth inning if they don't have to. And I don't think they're to the point where they feel like they have to commit to him there yet. So he's the guy to own from the Rays bullpen for sure, but he's not I'm not ready to say he's the closer.
I think Joe Maddon just likes to rage against the machine and be like, baseball or the media will not tell me how to run my team. I do what I want.
Speaking of which, did you see the lineup he had on Thursday? Center field leading off, then shortstop, third base.
Yeah, I saw this.
Shortstop, left field, third base, first base, DH, right field. It was, he called it the Tommy Two-Tone lineup. 8675309.
That is awesome. How do you think of that?
he did it on purpose.
You think he did it on purpose?
He was probably like, I gotta do a Tommy Two-Tone lineup at some point. That's great.
Because I looked at it and it didn't seem like I saw him saying that, and then I looked back at the lineup to see the order they were hitting, and it wasn't strange.
No. I bet they are pretty close to 8675309 most days.
Yeah.
You know? So to go back to Santiago Casilla, do you guys feel like he keeps that job and is, like, must-own at this point?
I'm still counting on Romo to get it back at some point.
I think
I'd go with Casilla over anyone in the White Sox situation, the Mets situation. Probably probably over Qualls while he has the job.
Yeah.
No
probably
way.
Over someone in the Angels situation.
Oh, yeah, I guess he could get traded. I was going to say, Chad Qualls has been phenomenal.
Yeah, but he doesn't get enough opportunities.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Giants. The Giants closers get opportunities.
Yeah, I would start Casilla while he has the job over somebody like Qualls,
sure.
But I'm not ruling out Roma regaining that, and I'm giving it a better than 50% chance of happening.
All right, Carlos Gonzalez will begin a rehab assignment today. He's got the finger injury, so probably want to sit him this week, but could be good news. You might get your cargo back. Email of the day number one is from Kyle. Could you guys pick one hitter and one pitcher who could be looking at a big turnaround in the second half of the season?
I got a bunch. I got to limit to one each.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to go – how about – let's just go with two Red Sox players here. Let's go with Dustin Pedroia as the hitter and Clay Buchholz as the pitcher. Pedroia's had a lot of three-hit games recently, and he had 4 home runs, 32 RBIs. I mean, that's not Dustin Pedroia. His contact rate is slightly down, not by much, and his swinging strike rate is slightly up. So he's close to the norms. Babip's right there. I just think, I mean, we're starting to see Petey turn it around, and I think he's due for a big turnaround here.
Okay.
And Clay Buchholz, he's just got so much room to from what he did in the first half. And look, his last two starts have been a lot better than he was. Strikeout rate hasn't been there, obviously, but I think he's got so much potential to turn it around and be a strong second-half contributor for fantasy owners.
Sky White.
I will put Martin Prado.
I had him on the list, too.
As my as my hitter. Just, track record is very consistent. What he did in the second half last year to make up for a slow first half, like you're hitting near 350, I think. And he's still, I think he's still striking out at a low rate. I'll have to check that out. But the pitcher, in the meantime, let's go.
Don't take my guy.
Don't take your guy.
Don't do it.
I'm going to say Homer Bailey,
yeah,
even though it's already started for him. I do have
don't worry, buddy.
His numbers on hand.
So do I.
Okay.
His last start was over the weekend, 8 innings, 1 run, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. And the previous start, complete game 3, hit shutout at the Giants, 7 strikeouts.
Last 8 starts, 2.93 ERA, 1.01 whip, 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. So there's been some ups and downs in there that might make it seem not so impressive on the whole, but when you look at the overall stat line, I mean, if those were season numbers, you'd be saying he took a step forward, and this is a breakout season even as good as he was. So I think he's on the right track.
My pitcher is Alex Cobb.
That's what I was going to say. That was my other guy. Glad you said it.
I read an interesting article about him. He said that last year when he came back from taking the comebacker in the head, it didn't really affect his mechanics or anything like that. And when he came back, it was just very easy for him. He just sort of came back and pitched really well. This year, he struggled because, what did he have?
Elbow.
Elbow. His mechanics were off. So he said he didn't spend enough time fixing his mechanics, but he feels like he's getting better. And he didn't recover properly. So his mechanics were a little bit off. They're getting better. They're getting back in sync. I see no reason why Alex Cobb. I made 2 buy low offers on Alex Cobb. I didn't even think they were that low. I don't remember what one of them was. The other was Yordano Ventura for Alex Cobb. Both of them got turned down. So he's a guy I'm trying to get on my team right now.
Yeah, I think everybody here, you, me and Al, have him in the top 30 still, or top 40 at least, for, you know, because we believe in a strong. And that's great to hear about. It's not his elbow. You know, like his elbow is complete. I thought that was he was holding back. Because, you know, he may still be hurting or he's not confident to let it go yet. But if that's not a problem and it's just mechanics, then fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's what he says. Yeah. And then my hitter, I can't see it getting much worse for Chris Davis. Although, with his matchups this week, I am sitting Chris Davis. Because he's got the 4 best no, he doesn't have Zimmerman. But he has Roark and 3 aces, basically, for or 2 aces and Fister for the Nationals. I've keep downgrading his matchups, but they are tough.
Strasburg, Geo, Fister, Roark, and then Tanaka at the end of the week.
Tanaka, Kuroda, somebody, and Tanaka for the Yankees.
Can we talk about one player we don't expect to bounce back in the second half? Because mine, I think, is going to be Joey Votto. Because I was listening to Brian Price talk yesterday, and I didn't realize that they were not expecting him to be 100% the rest of the year.
He's about to go back on the DL.
He's about to go back on the DL. He's had 0 home runs since he got off the DL last time. I'm seriously going to downgrade Joey Votto in my rankings this week because I'm no longer confident this is the Joey Votto of old. I think this injury is bothering him that much.
I've recently moved him down to 10th in head-to-head, which is his more valuable format. That's behind Frazier, whose third base eligibility obviously factors into that, Anthony Rizzo, Freddie Freeman, still ahead of Luke Roy and Chris Davis. Looks like you have him 8th right now, Herc.
Yeah. After listening to Brian Price yesterday, I think that was the nail in the coffin for me. Joey Votto's going to move down the rankings. And if he's going back on the DL.
Would you put him in points leagues, would you put him behind Chris Davis?
I think so, because Chris Davis is healthy. And I think I'm with Adam there. I think he only can get better from here.
Yeah,
right?
He's not fully healthy, though, because apparently that oblique's going to bother him all year. But
him
he's hitting 200. So.
First base is such a deep position that let's just go start looking down the list here. I mean, yeah, Todd Frazier, I'm with you on that one. Mm-hmm. I can move him behind Adrian Gonzalez. I can move him behind LaCroy right now. Look what LaCroy's doing and his dual eligibility.
Yeah.
Santana. I mean, right now, if people ask me, should they trade Joey Votto to get someone, in the long-term keeper league especially, I may take that trade if you can win now.
In the long-term keeper league?
If you can make that trade now and win. Say somebody offers you Victor Martinez for Joey Votto. Would you make that trade if you could win now?
Oh, but I've had Victor Martinez 4th
in the
rankings.
You see what I'm saying, though? Even
in a long-term keeper league.
I think now if you have Joey Votto and first base is a weakness, you really have to start assessing what can I do to make first base better.
All right, guys, let's move on here and talk about some players who stood out to you over the weekend. Tim Lincecum, 86% owned. And, you can look at these three starts. We included the no-hitter, the great start against St. Louis, and another good one yesterday against the Padres. But it goes back longer than that. I mean, it's like 7 starts now for Lincecum, and that it's been pretty good overall. Not as good as the last 3, 2 of which are against the Padres, 1 against the Cardinals who can't hit. I don't know. I almost actually picked him up. I almost did, but I just feel like I'd be betraying everything I've been saying for a year and a half about Lincecum.
He's 86% owned, so a lot of people don't even have that choice. I didn't see him available in any of the leagues we're in together.
Yeah, he is.
So it wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of our roto leagues.
I might have to look at that though. I get what you're saying, and
maybe I'm wrong about him.
The little bit I moved him up in the rankings, it's still fringy. Whether or not to own him in a standard mixed league, it's like Danny Duffy territory, But it is 3 starts, and you say the Cardinals can't hit.
Well, they can't, though. I mean, going into the weekend, they were the second lowest scoring team or the third lowest scoring team in baseball.
That's why they brought Oscar
back. I understand they still have a formidable lineup.
I still don't.
But they caught him at a good time.
I still don't. I still consider that lineup a tough matchup for a pitcher. My point. And then this last start, it was good, but he issued 4 walks and 6 in the 3rd inning. So are we already back to where we were with him? And he just happened to survive because it was the Padres. These are all questions I have, and I can't answer with any real confidence right now. But I think it's worth taking a flyer on him, provided you're not giving up anybody of too much value.
He's got a 3.07 ERA, Lincecum, in his last 11 starts. And opponents are hitting 179 against him. 31 walks, 60 strikeouts, and 70 and a third.
Getting overlooked like
Bartolo
Colon. But
only 44 hits, so the whip is still the whip is barely over 1. It's interesting. Okay, what else? What do you guys want to talk about here before we get into the most added, most dropped?
I think my point was Joey Votto, so I'm good.
Okay. How about... Marcus Stroman and Kevin Gausman? Gausman, I wonder if he's only owned in 44% of leagues because he, got sent down, which they were just sort of using for roster maneuverability, it seemed.
Yeah.
But he's been pretty darn good. And yesterday, 5 1/3, 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts at Boston. Stroman, 68% owned. Gausman, 44% owned. Do you feel like they're under-owned?
Stroman, That shocks me. 68% owned, as good as he's been as a starter. His numbers as a starter, ERA barely over 2.
He had those 2 starts that were a little shaky, and since then he's been awesome.
Yeah.
I think the 68% has a few things. Are they watching his innings too? Are they just going to let him, run wild the rest of the season because they're in contention. And second, again, he doesn't have a ton of experience in the major leagues as a starter under his belt. I mean,
but he's proving something right now.
Could he be, right, but could he be Matt Harvey when Matt Harvey came up and it was just phenomenal all the way? Or are we expecting a little bit of a regression at some point?
I still think he's worth owning. I mean, if he were available in any of my leagues,
yeah,
I'd grab him.
His 68 versus Lincecum's 86.
Yeah. I understand it, but I also understand why fantasy owners are hesitant. I totally get it. Because I am on the fence about, look where I have Marcus Stroman in my rankings. I think I have him in my 60s. I don't know what kind of pitcher he is yet.
Me is like, that's got to be more than 68% owned. That's a guy who's rostered in every 12-team league.
Basically, the way I've, a 12-team league, you're talking about, even if just the bare minimum number of pitchers are owned for every team, that's 60.
Right.
But I'm still...
So 65 and up is basically must-own territory for me, regardless of the format.
But he's right near 65, and so that's fringy still. I get fantasy owners' hesitation. I totally get it, because I'm
one of
those fantasy
owners. He's been really good.
So.
I regret not starting him. He's been really damn good, and I'd like him on my team. And he's done it against the Yankees, the White Sox, and at Oakland. In his last three starts, where he's given up 3 earned runs and 21 and two-thirds with 20 strikeouts, 6 walks. How about Gausman? What are your thoughts on Gausman, Herc?
Yeah, I have him. I'm pretty sure I have him higher. Hopefully I have him higher than Stroman. But again, you know, they're trying to find a rotation spot for him. And then Ubaldo Jimenez, who looked like he was probably the odd man out, goes and throws a decent start. So now they...
Well, why do you have... Why do you say all Stroman's unproven in the big leagues, and then Gausman, who's not any more proven, you're saying, I hope I have him ahead of Stroman?
Well,
when he doesn't have a for sure rotation spot, Stroman does. He hasn't been nearly as good as Stroman
has.
You mean
Gausman?
Yeah, Gausman.
You said Stroman doesn't have a rotation spot.
I know what he meant.
Oh, okay. Right.
Sorry. no, I'm just wondering, because you were saying, hope I have Gausman ahead of Stroman.
Because when Gausman was coming up, he was in a starter, and he was good. And, you know, I bought the hype on him. Stroman, I wasn't, you know, as high. I know his potential was there and stuff like that. I guess maybe I'm really concerned about the ballpark up in Toronto, which just seems, you know.
But you're not worried about Cameron Yards?
I mean, I know it's the same thing, but it's just,
All right, you like Gausman.
Yeah,
better.
I can't come up with a reason. I just like Gausman. Okay. If you ask me Gausman and the spark, I think that helps me lean towards Gausman a little more as well, so.
Okay. What else? Anything else, guys?
I wanted to mention, and this isn't that big of a deal, but because he was one of the few players who was still available in one of my leagues, who I was actually excited to pick up, Jose Quintana.
Nice.
Yeah.
4 inning games in a row. And during that stretch, 31 strikeouts in 28 and two-thirds innings. Only 3 earned runs allowed. And... mostly because of the high strikeout rate during that stretch, it reminds me of what he did in his final 17 starts last year. 3.11 ERA, 1.19 WHIP, 8.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. 17-start stretch, he did that, and that had me thinking of him as a sleeper, somebody who maybe had more upside than just a streamer type. And he hadn't really shown that all this year until this recent 4-start stretch. So I'm starting to wonder... if he could be that pitcher again, kind of like he was down the stretch last year.
And I'm very excited about Angelton Simmons batting second. I think it's been great for him. And Torrey Hunter, I think, is a guy that 69% owned, was hitting around 260, and it just seemed like he was due to come around. Well, Torrey Hunter has 10 hits, 2 home runs, 7 RBI in his last 5 games. Meanwhile, J.D. Martinez homered Saturday and Sunday. Both those guys are going to stay in the lineup because it doesn't seem like Victor Martinez is going to play that much leading up to the All-Star break. He might not play at all.
I know Simmons has the multi-hits lately, but he doesn't really have any home runs, RBI, anything in that sense.
Yeah, he drove in 4 runs Saturday.
Yeah, but that's as much as he's had, like, 6 RBI in his last...
But at shortstop, like, I dropped Brad Miller for Angelton Simmons, which you probably would hate me for.
No,
but...
we had this last week. I said I'd go with Brad Miller over at Simmons, too, so...
Yeah, okay, but Simmons, the reason I have Simmons over Miller, Simmons bats second now.
Yeah.
And Miller bats eighth
or
ninth.
You like that, right.
And it's not even just the line of protection and the run scored. It's like over a full week, you're basically talking about Simmons having an extra game over Brad Miller. He's just going to get a lot more at-bats. I think there's a lot of room for him to improve this year, Angelton Simmons. I think he's been underachieving.
But I think the biggest thing is the runs scored, particularly in a Braves lineup that struggles to score runs normally. Batting ahead of Freeman and Upton, and eventually Gattis, assuming the lineup doesn't change dramatically when he gets back. It already did make a big difference this past week. He scored 26 points this week. His previous high was 15. And like Kirk was saying, it's not like he suddenly started hitting for more power or anything. That was mostly about where he was in the lineup.
Yeah, it's huge for him. Because his slash line, very similar to what it was last year, except the runs scored way down. And the home runs, too. But the runs scored way down. Okay, let's move on. Injuries, news, and notes. Clayton Kershaw has a 36-inning scoreless streak. Gio Gonzalez, 22 innings. They've been very good. David Wright is back, 1-for-8 since returning to the lineup. Ryan Braun, back spasm, start or sit?
I'm going to start him. He doesn't think it's serious.
Troy Tulowitzki came back Sunday. He had groin tightness, and he seems to be open to being traded. He's great on the road, so probably won't happen this year. But if he gets traded, you know, don't worry about it. John Heyman reports that Boston is reluctant to trade Will Middlebrooks because he's young and he has power, and he could be used as a trade chip if Boston tries to acquire Giancarlo Stanton sometime down the road.
That's a shame he's not an all-star starter, Stanton. I mean, come on, Marlin fans. Where were you on this one?
Yeah, that's pretty weak.
Ugh.
That's pretty weak. He'll be the DH. John Heyman reports Minnesota expected to try to move Josh Willingham and Kevin Correa. Michael Bourne on the DL with a strained hamstring. Victor Martinez, again, he may not play before the all-star break. Got to sit him, right?
Yeah, I guess so, based on what you're saying.
That was my interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Shane Victorino could begin a rehab assignment soon. Garrett Cole left Friday start with lat soreness, but Pittsburgh doesn't believe it's serious. Angel Pagan not expected back before the All-Star break. Jaime Garcia is out for the year. Norichika Aoki could be back very soon. Corey Hart's back. Justin Smoke down to AAA. Pablo Sandoval was hit by a pitch on Saturday. Did not start Sunday. Start or sit?
Sit him because it's a deep bone bruise, and it sounded like Bochy, he may need 2 to 3 days off. So,
Brandon Moss, no structural damage in his ankle. Could be back soon. Start or sit?
I think I might consider sitting him, especially since they also have bad matchups this week. But it would depend to some degree on what I had to replace him with, you know?
Yeah. Josh Beckett left with a hip injury running the bases. Start or sit? I think he's got the Padres this week. So, man, you want him in your lineup. yes, he does. Padres at home.
It's risky.
I think I'd start him.
If you have a two-start pitcher, like, let's say Charlie Morton, I'd go with Charlie Morton over Josh Beckett.
Marco Estrada or Beckett?
Yeah, I'd go Marco Estrada if he's got two starts, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going Beckett there.
Jeremy Hellickson will return to the Rays rotation Tuesday. And Eric Bedard's going to the bullpen. Anyone interested in Hellickson?
No, not really.
You talk about a guy who's had a long layoff, coming back from an elbow problem. I mean, it's...
Wasn't that good the last couple years.
Yeah.
And Herc, I can't find anything on Hanley Ramirez. He didn't play yesterday. Seems like nobody's worried.
Yeah, maybe just a day off because he's been dealing with some calf problems, shoulder problems. And maybe they're just like... Same thing with Joey Votto yesterday. Joey Votto was just a day off, and then now he's going back to the DL.
Yeah.
But I think Hanley's less severe and just stay off.
So start him?
Yeah.
John Neese is going on the DL with a shoulder strain. Dylan G will replace him. G should be activated Wednesday. Fellas, let's take a look at the most added and most dropped players.
All right.
In CBSSports.com.
Who was that?
I don't know. Just an announcer.
Fellas? Hey, fellas.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize Steve Pierce is 72% owned. How about that? Steve Pierce, number one most added. Chris Young of the Mariners, number two. Tom Kohler, number three. Always a lot of two-star pitchers on this list. Joe Smith, number four. Do you guys think he's the closer for the Angels?
Not rest of season, but seems to be right now.
Smith or Casilla, who would you rather own?
I'd rather own Casilla.
I do believe Joe Smith is, because I don't believe Jason Grilly is going to bounce back unless they make another trade for a semi-closer or a potential closer.
They might.
That's the thing, and I understand that. But if they don't, I think Joe Smith has a chance to keep this job.
They just traded for a left-handed pitcher. Like, I feel like
Thatcher?
Three trades midseason for your bullpen is kind of overkill.
What do they give up? You know, they haven't really given up any long-term assets in these deals. They could do it again.
Mike Zunino is number 5 on the most added list. Vance Worley, number 6. Arismendi Alcantara, number 7. Logan Forsyth, 8. Carlos Martinez, 9. Yeah, I like that. RP eligible, obviously. He was going to pitch more than 5 innings, but he dinged himself up a little bit, diving headfirst into first base to get an out, not as a runner, as a fielder. So they took him out at like 88 pitchers or something, but they're building him up. Clay Buchholz, 10. Brad Boxberger, 11. And Kevin Kiermaier, 12. And Santiago Garcia, 13. Cole Calhoun, 14. Anything here, guys, that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I just want to talk about 3 players real quick. I'm not buying Mike Zunino, especially in head-to-head formats. I think the strikeouts are just going to offset his power. Logan Forsyth, just be very careful that right now he's starting because Yunel Escobar is out. When Escobar comes back, he's going to lose a lot of playing time. So he's a short-term option. I do like Kevin Kiermaier. I mean, he's been as good as Lucas Dude has been good over the last few weeks. Yeah, he didn't show this in the minors, but what's to say that maybe he just found his stride in the majors and maybe the coaching up there is something is helping him get on track. In deeper formats, if you're down an outfielder, you know, what's the harm in taking a flyer on Kiermaier and see what he can do? Because he's been doing it for a few weeks now.
Kurt Suzuki is number 15, or I think, on the most added list. And he's really just having a very good year.
All-star year.
Yeah, I mean.
So.
Yes.
And it's continuing.
I can't believe he's an all-star and Ian Kinsler is not. I'm sorry, I just wanted to say that.
Ian Kinsler is like widely regarded right now as one of the biggest snubs.
It's just unbelievable. Yeah. He so deserved to be on the all-star team.
And they didn't really need Suzuki because they had 2 other catchers and they had Perkins, so they didn't need a twin. So that is a little strange. I mean, Suzuki's been pretty good, but not like... You know, not like Devin Mesoraco good.
From a fantasy standpoint, Scott, for Suzuki, obviously he's going to be owned in 2 catcher leagues.
Yeah.
But I guess he's being picked up in 1 catcher leagues, and despite his very strong season hitting over 300, he's only the number 11 catcher in points leagues, which are typically the 1 catcher leagues.
Well, that's still pretty high. I mean, that's in a 12-team league. You would just think if it was completely based on performance to date, he would be one of the catchers owned. And a lot of that's plate discipline because he doesn't have a lot of power.
Yeah, but that's the thing. What I'm saying is he has to hit 300 when he's been a pretty bad hitter his entire career just to be number 11.
I don't think you should see him as a long-term option. He's fine to pick up as a hot hand play.
Replace Gattis if you're playing that game.
Yeah, and there's a lot of catchers I lump in there. Wilson Ramos, AJ Pierzynski, the one I actually recommend in the planner this week is Yan Gomes. So they're all beyond the, you have to own them and start them every week. I think there's only like 10 at the position that are like that. And then the other 2 people in a 12-team league are just making do with the hot hand off the waiver wire. And you can do that at catcher more than any other position because it's not like you have to worry about losing these players to somebody else. There's no incentive to carry a backup catcher since they don't get enough at-bats to play utility or anything.
A couple other things. Jesse Hahn, 76% owned, and not a 2-star pitcher. Just people are liking him.
Yep.
You guys like him?
Yeah, that's a good plan. He's must-own, I would say. And Steve Pierce. Those are the 2 that if all the players on this list, they're both still less than 80% owned. But if they were out there in any league I was playing in, I'd make sure they didn't stay out there.
Agreed.
And then there's Robert Refsnyder, who is 8% owned. He's a second base prospect for the Yankees, but he used to be an outfielder.
And you saw what his Costco said. He's like, listen, he was an All-American outfielder for 3 years for me. If they need him in there, he can play outfield. So.
Right. That was in a Joel Sherman story in the Post. And he's killing it right now in AAA. So maybe in deep leagues you want to consider stashing Refsnyder.
Hey, they DFA'd Soriano. I mean... Second base outfield combination right there. So,
Well, I just think Ichiro will run out of steam at some point. They got a lot of players who are going to run out of steam. Andrew Heaney's the most dropped. Yan Hervis Solarte is down in the minors. He's the second most dropped. Sabathia, third most. Jaime Garcia, fourth. Colin McHugh. Now, in addition to the injury, I mean, I just feel like he's been pitching like a droppable player.
Yep. last six starts, 4.45 ERA, 1.33 WHIP, 5.3 walks per nine innings. That's the killer right there.
I just want to say I've been against him all season, so.
I've been with you, Herc. I couldn't bring myself. It was like pixie dust, and I'm starting to worry a little bit about Dallas Keuchel. I'm sitting him this week because he had a bad start, and he's got that wrist injury. I just want to make sure he's healthy before
I'm starting Vance Worley over Dallas Keuchel this week. I mean, Vance obviously has two starts, but I'm with you on this one, Adam.
Things were going so well for the Astros for a long time, and I don't know. I mean, Altuve's great.
Yeah.
Springer already leads the American League in strikeouts. That's insane.
It all started turning when Domingo Santana got called up.
Singleton's been horrible, too.
Yeah.
Josh Willingham is on the most drop list. Drop or stash, generally speaking, with Willingham?
I don't think he plays enough, to be perfectly honest. He's been healthy, and they've been sitting him every third game recently, it seems like. So
for Colabello.
Do you think Willingham will be a Yankee in a few weeks?
No. I think they need a pitcher.
Not a belly itcher.
Yeah, exactly. Chase Whitley, Drew Smyly. I don't know if I dropped Drew Smyly. Yeah, I think I did. Dropped Drew Smyly. I'm disappointed because I like Drew Smyly.
Yeah, but what are his innings this year? Because he's a guy that's going to have to get shut down, right? I mean,
I don't know. But it's a little different when you have somebody who was strictly a reliever going to starting. Like, they don't just do the 30 inning increase in that situation usually, because that would be completely unreasonable.
But even in the prior to the season, they're like, we're gonna skip them, and we do have to be careful with Smyly.
Yeah, but they've done a lot of that already. Yeah. He never got a two-star week for the first couple months, it seemed like, because they kept skipping him and moving him to the bullpen briefly. And I don't know. I don't worry so much about the innings thing, but the consistency has been an issue. Mm-hmm. In roto leagues, I would see where the SPARP doesn't matter. The SPARP appeal doesn't matter. I would see no reason to hold on to him.
Okay, and Singleton is on the most drop list. So is Danny Duffy. Yeah, I mean, with Duffy, with Smyly, with Kyle Gibson, let's take those three. Do you feel like people might be giving up on them a little bit too soon, or do you think that it makes sense for them to be on the most drop list?
It makes sense.
Okay. Scott?
Kyle Gibson, I feel like we're going to see him on the most added list again, just because he's had these extreme highs and lows, and I think he's a good enough ground ball pitcher that the highs are going to be more common than the lows, and at some point the overall numbers are going to look good enough that people are going to get over him having these bad starts on occasion and just are going to want to own him.
Are you? Who would you rather own? Robinson Chirinos, who homered Saturday
and
Sunday?
Boy.
Yeah. Or Stephen Vogt, who's batting 356, 380, 494.
Stephen Vogt.
Yep. Are you worried about anyone in particular in the Pirates situation? Because they are doing everything they can to keep Josh Harrison in the lineup.
I worry about Josh Harrison the most.
Pedro Alvarez leads baseball with 18 errors. I don't know if that factors into your thinking at all. And he did sit against a righty on Friday. It was a righty, Roberto Hernandez, who actually is better against left-handed pitchers.
I tell you what, this Clint Barmas injury is good for Harrison. Now, Barmas is out 4 to 6 weeks with a groin injury, so I think they'll give Harrison a little more time at shortstop, even though Jordy Mercer's been phenomenal. So that's one less middle infielder he has to worry about for playing time, so they don't have to worry about Pedro Alvarez right now.
Are you worried about anyone in particular in the Cardinals' outfield/first base situation?
Seems like Craig's gotten the short end of the stick there.
Didn't start Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, so Adam sat against a lefty, but it was interesting because so did Tavares in that game. So not exactly going the way we thought it would. But, Craig worries me. I think he could get hot at some point and turn the whole situation upside down, but right now I don't see how you start him in mixed leagues.
All right, let's talk about some struggling studs, guys owned in 80% of leagues or more, who are struggling in some form. Alex Cobb, we discussed. So C.J. Wilson, last seven starts, he has a 6.25 ERA, or 6.75 ERA in his last seven. Taiwan Walker lived up to his name, walked five at the White Sox in his second start of the season yesterday, only lasted four innings. Dallas Keuchel gave up 13 hits and five runs at the Angels. Anibal Sanchez, I don't know that you worry about the runs he gave up, had two bad innings against Tampa Bay, but he's not striking anyone out. He's got eight strikeouts over his last four starts, Anibal Sanchez. Matt Latos, he's only given up nine earned runs in five starts, and five of them came in one game. He's got a 2.41 ERA, but Latos has 18 strikeouts in 33 and two-thirds.
I was going to say, why is he on this list?
John Lackey, last three starts, has a 10.29 ERA. Dan Heron was horrible, but it was at Colorado. Shelby Miller, I am done with him in shallow leagues. I already dropped him, and yep. He had another bad start with, again, no strikeouts. Two strikeouts and five and a third against the Marlins. Again, the names are Wilson, Taiwan Walker, Dallas Keuchel, Anibal Sanchez, Matt Latos, John Lackey, Dan Heron, Shelby Miller. Anyone worry you in particular?
Worry? I mean, Heron and Miller I was over already, so I'm kind of just eliminating them from the discussion as far as worry goes. Honestly, the one who worries me most is Latos, and it's less because of the numbers. He's pitched great recently, except for the strikeouts, than the fact that the strikeout rates are accompanying this lower-than-usual velocity, about 3 miles per hour lower on his average fastball velocity, and that's significant, particularly for a pitcher coming off a forearm injury. And because he's pitched well, you know, maybe I'm making too much of it, and maybe the velocity is going to come back in time, and you know, it'll be no big deal in the long run. But I think it's something that would certainly prevent me from trading for him, and it's reason for me to be slightly skeptical of what he's doing right now.
For me on this list, it's John Lackey. You know, he was chirping at Nelson Cruz after his last start. When you get to doing that, it's kind of like the concerns there because, you know, you should be focused on your pitching and not talking. And Taiwan Walker, I mean, this is Taiwan Walker. He was inconsistent when he was working his way back from, you know, his injury. And, you know, he had the shoulder problem. And in the minors, he... Remember when he went got to double A, he struggled, and then he figured it out?
Yeah.
I mean, this is Taiwan Walker. Can we call him a stud? He's not.
Well,
I use stud only. 80% owned or more is
yeah. I'm okay with him being owned, but when he doesn't have two star weeks and he doesn't have a favorite match, but he needs to be on your bench.
Okay, that's...
Yeah.
Well, is there a difference between Taiwan Walker and Drew Hutchison? Other than, like, 25% ownership.
Yeah, there's a difference. Walker could... If it clicks for Walker, I mean, he becomes a must-start for you, one start or two. Kind of like Garrett Cole last year.
You don't put Hutchinson in that category?
No. I don't think Hutchinson has the same ability. I don't think it's close.
Home ballpark, too. Hutchinson hasn't been good at home, and Walker's got a pitcher's park.
Hutchinson's a strikeout. I mean, 93 strikeouts in 105 innings for Hutchinson. Last time out, before the bad start over the weekend, right. He struck out 10 at home. And gave up one run against Milwaukee on three hits.
Isn't that him all season? Good
That's
start,
what I'm saying.
Start, good
That's,
start.
That's why I compared him, Hutchinson and Taiwan Walker.
I don't think he'll ever get away from the bad starts, though. Or if he does, they'll be, you know, just kind of an overall leveling out. I think his overall numbers, taking the good with the bad and spitting out a stat line, I think that's about as good as it gets for Hutchinson.
Hutchinson, I grouped with these pitchers. They're owned in anywhere between 52 and 64% of leagues. Danny Duffy, Roenis Elias, Drew Smyly, Drew Hutchinson, Colin McHugh. Who's the best in that group?
All right, can you repeat them for me?
What page are you on? Oh, there you go.
Starting pitchers part two. Danny Duffy, Roenis Elias, Drew Smyly, Drew Hutchinson, Colin McHugh.
So you're asking us who we want to own?
Yeah, I mean, the three Ds seem to be, like, the best in some order. Smyly, Duffy, and Hutchinson, whereas I'm not even looking at Elias. Yeah. Elias, I think you pointed it out, Scott, maybe last week, but Elias now has 6 quality starts and 18 starts. I mean, that's horrible.
I think it was me.
Yeah.
How little I was here last week.
Yeah.
Hutchison's the best.
Yeah.
If you take Smiley Sparp relief pitcher eligibility out of the equation, then Hutchison is the best.
Agreed.
Okay. Let's read some emails here. Let me just ask you guys about Odrisa Merdespagne and how you treat a guy who strikes out basically nobody but has a 2-0 record with a .92 ERA.
He's got to do it a heck of a lot longer than this. He's got to put together a Henderson Alvarez-type run for me to care about him in mixed leagues.
Two words.
But what about in deep leagues?
Sell high.
Yeah, he's got a 16% owned. Good luck. Good luck.
In deep leagues, they probably just NL only. And in that case, anyone with a rotation spot is probably owned.
Right. Okay. Any concerns about Trevor Rosenthal or Sean Doolittle or Mark Melanson?
No.
Simple. Okay.
Nope. Yep, I agree.
Injuries, news, and notes, part 2. The Angels acquired Joe Thatcher, as we mentioned, left-handed reliever. Derek Dietrich's on the DL. Jake Marisnik is back up. Neftali Feliz was called up. You think he could work his way back into the rotation?
I saw somewhere over the weekend where Ron Washington wasn't hesitant to use him in safe situation if Soria needed a day off. That's interesting. And Soria could be a guy to get traded at the deadline. So,
yeah, I kind of feel like they're done with Feliz as a starter. I mean, they've gone back and forth with several of their pitchers, but I think that the injury coming up when it did, very soon into his stint as a starter, I think they've moved on from that idea.
Carl Crawford nearing a return. Matt Kemp had a 4-hit game yesterday, just at the right time. Byron Buxton recovered from his wrist injury back in Class A. Aroldis Chapman was unavailable with a hamstring injury on Sunday, but he's expected to be fine. Colton Wong returned from the DL, hit his second home run of the season. He's 32% owned. And Yunel Escobar will begin a rehab assignment today, as Herc mentioned for you Logan Forsyth owners. Paul in Ann Arbor, Michigan says, "Dear Scotty, Benny, and Ham."
No. No, what? I can't.
What?
I don't get this one either.
Really? I know Scott doesn't, because he and Al have no souls and haven't seen the Sandlot.
Is it? Oh, yes, I was getting there.
Oh,
okay.
I've seen the Sandlot.
Yeah,
okay.
This is the Sandlot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got Cargo coming off the DL soon. I've heard as early as Friday. Who do I drop for Cargo? Bogarts. I have Hanley Ramirez and Josh Donaldson. Zobrist, I have Kinsler, or Dickerson.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's a 6x6. Oh, it's interesting. 6x6 Dynasty Categories League. OBP and slugging instead of average.
Ho-ho. Dynasty.
Oh, man. I know Zobrist has been better as of late, but it's a Dynasty League, and I'd rather have Bogarts and Dickerson at this point in a Dynasty League.
Yeah, because there's that long-term consideration there. And he has Hanley Ramirez. And he has Xander Bogarts if Hanley goes on the DL.
Yeah.
I think Zobrist is the low guy.
All right. From Nathan, looking for a two-start pitcher. I'm torn between Marco Estrada and Jake Odorizzi in my head-to-head categories league. Who should I choose? Also, I love my eggs, Odorizzi. I'll be having those when I wake up this morning. Hashtag more legit name pun than you think.
I needed that. That was good. Who sent us that email?
That's Nathan.
Nathan, good job, Nathan.
Yeah, well done. All right, so we need two-start Odorizzi or two-start Marco Estrada.
Do we encourage this behavior, really?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Estrada is Philadelphia and St. Louis at home. Odorizzi is Kansas City and Toronto at home, and he's very good at home. It's a no-brainer for me.
It is a no-brainer.
Odorizzi.
Odorizzi in the morning.
Sunny side up. I'm a scrambled guy, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Strictly.
I agree.
Yeah. Herc?
I mean, I could eat the others, but
why? How do you like your eggs, Herc?
Scrambled.
Okay.
I like them with a little milk in it. Get them fluffy.
Yeah, it's nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Rick from Brooklyn. Grade the trade. I give up Hyunjin Ryu, a 19th round keeper. I get Ellsbury, who I can't keep. Deep 10-team points league.
Yeah, read the rest of it.
Come on, Herc. Convince me to keep Ryu.
I think you said come on, Adam, because that's your boy right there, man, Ryu.
I would keep Ryu.
I mean, at this point.
Yeah. If you 10-team league, pitchers are, like, so abundant.
But next year, 19th round?
Yeah, I know, but I love Ryu, but he's never going to be an ace.
No, but if you can win now and Ellsbury's doing what he's doing and you know he's probably a better player than this, that if you can get him, it's not a bad offer. It's a fair offer, in my opinion, that if you need a bat, I think he's a guy you make this trade for if you can win now.
Yeah, I'd take it.
Yeah, me too.
Keeper considerations considered.
Hey, Harry, Sanchez, and Martin. And Martin, I. What the hell is that? Trumbo, rest of season. What do you think? This is Doug from a city in NorCal. San Francisco.
Better in Roto than head-to-head? Is that a good rest of the year?
He's going to hit a lot of home runs when he comes back.
This is a rookie fantasy baseball player, so.
I would be.
Let's help him out.
Stashing him. Assuming it's a Roto league. In probably any format, I would be stashing him. If you've stashed him this long, he is going to come back and hit a lot of home runs. I think that's fair to say. Low batting average, high strikeout rate, which is why I hedge on the head-to-head leagues, because that hurts his production. Mm-hmm. But I think the number of home runs he's going to hit will overcome that even in those formats, and you'll be glad you held on to him.
Adam, are you happy I've been considering Roto owners today and not just staying points leagues? I'm improving.
I am happy. I think Doug might have pulled a fast one on us.
Did he?
I've been worried about that for quite some time. So if you did, Doug, congratulations.
What
with
Doug
his
do?
Greeting. From Andy, standard 5x5 keeper league.
I'm missing something here.
Yeah, don't worry about it. standard 5x5 keeper league, we name a mid-year keeper who we retain at their draft day value for two more years. Who do I keep? Chris Bryant at $1 or Anthony Rizzo at $14?
Chris Bryant at $1. You're not going to get much better value than that over the next 2 years. I mean, trust me,
Are you going to get a lot of value from him over the next 2 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge Anthony Rizzo fan. Huge Anthony Rizzo fan. But Chris Bryant at $1, that is just... Scott, you know I'm good in Dynasty Leagues. Look at my 2014 Dynasty League. I know about value.
Oh, do you?
This is good value.
I'm pretty good at those dynasty leagues too, Herc. I would worry. I mean, Rizzo's good value too, and I would worry that Bryant may not come up until around this time next year, and then you get a year and a half from him.
No chance. No chance.
What do you mean, no chance?
No, he is absolutely just crushing baseballs.
I know, but what are the Cubs going to do with
him? I still think he'll be up this year. I honestly think he'll be up this year.
I'd be surprised. Well, look, if he comes up this year, then the decision's made for you.
Yeah,
you don't have to decide it right now. But right now, I'm saying Rizzo.
All right, and I'm saying goodbye. And we'll talk to you later. And go to cbssports.com/fantasyparty if you're a fantasy football fan living in the Boston, Foxborough-ish area. It's a pretty cool event. You can check that out there. Watch Fantasy Baseball today. We'll have John Heyman on to talk more trade stuff live noon Eastern. For Michael Hercombe, Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. See you tomorrow.
When you won't straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Muka Maka 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 Maka. Pickle.